We often define artists by their output, their records, books, movies, and the times they're on stage.
But the art is made in the quiet, the struggle, and the mundane, the hours that no one sees. I'm Michaela Ann.
And I'm Aaron Schaefer-Hayes. This is The Other 22 Hours, an exploration of the creative life, lived in the in-between. We're proud to be the newest show to join the BGS Podcast Network. Find new conversations every Wednesday at bluegrasssituation.com, wherever you get your podcasts, or theother22hours.com. See you there.
Welcome to Basic Folk, where we have honest conversations with folk musicians on the Bluegrass Situation. It's me, Cindy Howes. I host this podcast. Thanks for listening. Today we have the Mammals on the show. Before we get to that, a couple of things. Have you signed up for Basic Folk's newsletter? You can do so at the link in the show notes, or you can go to basicfolk.com and sign up there. You can also follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, at Basic Folk Pod. We're also a listener-supported podcast, so you can make a financial contribution, like $5 a month or something, at basicfolk.com/donate. You can also find the donate link in the show notes as well. How are you? I just came back from a rolfing session. Have I talked about... I feel like I've maybe talked about this on the podcast before, so if so, I apologize, but... my goodness, it is like the most intense, deep massage ever. And I was like, in the session, I'm like, this is actually like almost pretty relaxing. And then in like the last 10 minutes, she found this like tightness in my neck and my cranium. Apparently your cranium can be tight. She's like, do you feel this? And then she did a couple things. She had this like vibrator massager thing she put on my head. And then she has this little kind of like hole punch thing. It's not an actual hole punch, but it reminds me of one, and it kind of gives you the feeling like you're getting stapled. She kind of was doing that on the really tight parts. Anyways, that's where I'm at right now. I feel the thing about it is that you feel terrible, and it's and tense for an hour. I at one point she was doing something on my IT band, which is so awful, and I just like made this huge fist, and then. She's like, okay, I'll go lighter. And then she opened up my fist, which was, I thought, kind of sweet. I don't know if I can recommend rolfing. I guess I can. I do it every other month. It's amazing. Let's get to the show today. Mike and Ruth Miranda have been making music together as the Mammals since 2001, with a little break in 2008 to play as Mike and Ruthie. They've been back as the Mammals since 2017 with a couple of great albums. Most recently, they released Touchgrass Volume 1 and Volume 2. Mike, who was born and raised in New Hampshire, picked up the banjo actually when he met fiddler Ruth Unger. Ruth is the daughter of Jay Unger, a much-loved folk musician who is best known for his composition Ashokan Farewell, used as the theme to the Ken Burns 1990 documentary The Civil War, Where It All Began. Essentially, Ruth grew up surrounded by folk music, which she talked about on her last appearance on Basic Folk, which was during the pandemic. This time around, we dig into a few of the songs on their double album, Touchgrass, and there are a lot to choose from, 17 tracks in all. This was a four-year project recorded at their humble abode studio in the Catskills. The songs offer a mix of socially conscious daytime folk rock and introspective nighttime Americana. That's my new radio show in the evening with Delilah. We get into the gospel influence on the song Oh, the Cruelty, the bare bones arrangements of Old Friend, and keeping the sadness in check with their amazing song Doldrums. They also talk a bit about their home venue, the Ashokan Center, where their music festival, The Hoot, takes place. Let it be known that the center has a ton of old farm equipment, and no, they do not want any more, so don't ask them to take it. Thanks to Mike and Ruthie for coming on the podcast. We'll hear clips from the Mammals throughout the episode today. So hope you enjoy. It's the Mammals on Basic Folk. The Mammals are on the podcast today. What an exciting day for us. Mike Yay. And Ruthie with a Y.
Well, yeah, done.
That's me.
Done your homework.
Thank you. Well, she told me herself.
Welcome back to the podcast.
So last time Ruth and I spoke was in 2020, and we did an interview for Basic Folk, and I wrapped up the interview saying that I didn't get to ask 60% of my questions. So this is the one question I wanted to bring over, and I see that you guys have a copy of Nanette behind you. So I think this album is still in play. We can still ask questions about songs on this record.
All day long.
So, please do. So the song that I wanted to, well, the song that inspired this question was East Side, West Side, where you reference patriotic songs.
Yeah.
My Country, Tis of Thee being one of them, where you say, my country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, so close-minded bigotry, open hostility, so stand or take a knee, just join your hands with me and let freedom ring. Come on, everybody, sing. Sorry, that was a terrible rendition of the lyrics, but...
I loved it.
Thank you. I found this quote where you said, Ruth, I remember being a little older and being turned off by the anthemic energy of This Land Is Your Land. In my 30s, Peggy Seeger told me that she had stopped singing it. A pair of indigenous musicians stayed silently seated when the song was performed at a festival finale, and then she began hearing it very different. I was grateful to get that message from her. So I'd love it if you could expand on that story and how you relate to those old patriotic songs now.
Yeah, well, My Country, Tis of Thee makes me think of being a really little kid in school and learning all these songs, like She's a Grand Old Flag, and just like, it's brainless. You're just like, la, 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 la. And like, you're just not thinking. You're like, I finger painted a turkey because it's Thanksgiving, and like, yay, pilgrims. And I don't know, it's like, you don't really think too much about all those songs that they're in there. And they're kind of folk songs. And This Land Is Your Land is obviously a folk song. And it used to make a lot of grown-ups cry. When I was a kid, they'd be singing This Land Is Your Land and they'd start crying. Like there was some sort of nostalgia of it. And it meant something to them. And I think it still means a lot to a lot of people, that song. And there is beauty in it. The idea that Woody is sharing is that we are humanity and this is our place and we belong here. And I think that's awesome. And I bet Peggy Seeger felt that to some extent. And I also understood, you know, where she was coming from when she told me that story of like kind of, you know, again, not wanting to hurt someone else and cause them harm and pain. And yeah, I don't think there's an easy answer to what to do with a song, but if it's making you uncomfortable, quit singing it. And if you notice that, you know, read the room. You know, I think that when I quoted those songs in East Side, West Side, and I've started quoting the anthem at the end now. Like we riff on it, we jam out for a while, and I've started singing the From Every Mountainside over and over, Let Freedom Ring at the end, just because it feels like, you know, everybody's heard that melody, and just like pulling it into sort of a bluesy, folky song and just recontextualizing some of those lines from these songs that we've heard 100 times is kind of fun. And it's almost like reclaiming it. There was a time when the people I hung out with, even though we are American and don't consider ourselves anything else, didn't really resonate with the flag. You know, that's not ours. That's for flag waving type Americans. We're just more low key Americans or something. I don't know. But I wanted to reclaim it. It's maybe there's some horrible history to the flag and some for beautiful sure. history to the flag. And yeah. And maybe it's about deciding what it could mean today. If it could mean something positive, maybe it should, you know. So that song, East Side, West Side, was just the idea that we're big country. We're full of opinions. We're full of different people, small towns, big cities, beaches, you know, amber waves of grain, whatever it all is. Maybe there's strength in that mix. And maybe we could envision that in our minds and therefore create more of that strength. That's really, I was trying to pull from what we know and, you know, be the thing you don't see. Mm-hmm. If everybody says, oh, we're all in bubbles and oh, we're all divided and oh, we're all polarized, then I don't want to use any of that imagery in my song.
I'm singing from the north side to the south side.
is stronger than ever before. I'm singing from the east side to the west side, from the shore to the shining shore. Keep a walking on a good path around the big world. Come back and tell me what you found. We can fight or we can wrestle with the details, but we're standing on common ground.
I want to cherry pick my favorite tracks, if that's cool. And we both have like very specific questions about very specific songs, which we loved. Starting with Doldrums.
Too bad there weren't too many to choose from.
Yeah, right. How much time you got?
What have the slow, depressing periods of life taught you? And do you use strategies to get out of a rut? Or do you think it's more important to just be in it and ride it out?
Well, I think I've been taught by the low times and the isolating times to appreciate every awesome time when it's happening as much as possible by just breathing and being in the moment, and to be aware that whatever time you're in, it is a moment and it's not going to last. So that's helpful when it's a rough one.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's a pretty short answer, but
that's it.
Yeah.
And be here now.
Be here now. And to, you know how if you're ever in a guided meditation, they will say, you know, picture yourself in your happy place or picture yourself on a beach or something like that. Mm-hmm. For me, if I think of that song and other songs I've written that really harken back to losing a good time, or the good time that I'm picturing is a huge audience, a big festival. We're on the stage. The song is working. The sound is perfect. Mm-hmm. They're laughing at the funny stuff. They're crying at the sad stuff. Your voice isn't scratchy. Your monitor sounds amazing. Like those moments that have happened. and then the applause at the end. Mm-hmm. And every time I hear it, because when we were in lockdown and we didn't hear that sound, I mean, I don't want to sound like a diva or something, but it was weird. Like the next time we heard applause, I just like almost cried. I was like, didn't realize how much I missed it.
I know I cried. My first show after lockdown was opening for Brian Dunn at Rockwood Music Hall. And I sobbed and accidentally came out to my mom because of the overwhelming emotion of that day.
That makes sense.
So overwhelming to be back among people after you've been like stuck in the house. A live stream simply is not the same.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, totally. And those moments, they really are transformative, and you can keep them, you know, just like tuck them away. Because our brain chemistry helps us remember the really bad, embarrassing moments of life. Like, you don't have to work hard to keep those. So you have to make a little effort to keep the nice ones.
Why do the good times go so fast? Why do the doldrums linger and last? They say hold on, but I just can't do it. Today came down before I knew it.
I wanted to talk about the gospel tradition that is found in the song "Oh, the Cruelty." Can you tell us about your relationship to the gospel tradition, and why is it important to use the language of gospel to address the injustices we're experiencing today?
Yeah, thank you. I really did think about I'm not really trained at all in Christianity, except for what you absorb passively in this
like
culture.
Star Wars.
Yes.
I probably understand them equally. But I would say that the refrain part that changes each time, or the section of the song changes each time, you know, ain't it greed, ain't it envy, ain't it all of this and more? Ain't it lies? Ain't it treason? Ain't it all of this and more? Ain't it sinful to believe? So I guess I was trying to write a song that felt like an old Mahalia Jackson song, mm-hmm. or, you know, something of that era, but that was very clearly, if you listen to it, from today, mm-hmm. and that called out the hypocrisy of anyone calling themselves Christian and being sinful in the most obvious ways. I just wanted a real black and white song that was just real clear, you know, that we're supposed to be good to each other and there's really no cheating on that.
It yes, just ma'am.
Seemed it seemed to be a good concept. it wrote itself, because what's cool about, I mean, I think it was even Arlo used to say that Woody used to say, it's helpful if your audience already knows the tune of your song, and even good if they know a few of the words too. So I don't know that I stole an exact melody, but I didn't
try to
make
it. Feels like a very familiar song when you hear it. Like,
yeah.
a song we've all heard. It's as old as time.
Yeah, and then when it came time, it's like, okay, and then it'll have a bridge, and mm-hmm. it will go like this, you know, and I'll say something that no one can disagree with, and we'll move on. mm-hmm. That's kind of my format.
Yes.
I don't know. It's the most, while I am not, you know, whatever, I'm not like, by any type of schooling or training or ethnicity at all, anyone who could claim the blues or gospel or Christianity, that song is very me still.
Well, you come from like the school of roots music. I mean, that's where you were raised. That's your lifeblood in a sense.
And yeah.
So it's just a part of your.
Yeah. I guess I just mean like
spirit.
The songwriting way, like the, how direct it is. It's not like super poetic.
Well, I guess I'm saying is like some people were raised in the church or they're raised in Judaism. You were raised in folk music.
And my dad, it's funny, my dad was saying that song, like people should be covering that song. Of course, my dad, you know, he thinks highly of me, but he's like, that song could be, you know, so many people could do that song. And that'd be cool. I'd love it if somebody who really was in that style actually liked the song enough to do it even better. But I also... Yeah, I don't know. I've never been one to pitch songs. So I just let it, if it happens, it happens. So yeah, oh, the cruelty of this world has got me down. And I didn't make it O with an OH because I made it O with just an O because that was more from my Shakespeare training.
Yes.
Oh, the cruelty.
Oh, the cruelty.
Oh, the cruelty of this world has got me down. Yeah, the cruelty of this world has got me down. Ain't it greed? Ain't it envy? Ain't it all of this and more? We know there's enough to go around, and it still keeps going.
I would like to hear you guys break down the arrangement of Old Friend. Can you describe what instruments are on this song, how you arranged the vocal harmonies, and if you have best practices for getting those great plucked string sounds in a studio setting?
You're talking about, there's so many songs about friends on this album. There's One Good Friend. There's Families. I just want to make sure you're talking about about the right song. Old Friend is
Old
the
Friend.
Super minimalist, super sparse.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, you had it right.
With the plucky thing.
Yeah.
That's my guitar that we never usually use or take on tour. It's a little Gibson.
We're
my
lucky to have our
up.
Own recording studio. We're sitting in it right now. I had two recording sessions this week, so it's all been fired up and I've been feeling great about it. Our bass player and good friend Brandon Morrison recorded Touchgrass. It's really his baby sonically, but that one we did ourselves. It's just you and me. I used Ruthie's old Gibson guitar that has kind of high action, doesn't really go on the road very often.
Small bodied.
Yep. It's a guitar that had come into...
Does everyone know what high action means?
Okay,
yeah,
good question.
Yeah, describe that.
high action just means it's hard to play. The strings are a little further than the fretboard than you want them to be.
You got to push down on, your fingies down on the strings.
You got to push your fingies down a little harder. And the higher you get up the neck, because of the high action, it's going to be more out of tune. It's just not going to intonate well.
Ouch.
Yes. So
all
thank
around.
You. Thank you. High action.
It means it needs a neck reset.
It needs to have its neck taken off and glued back on by a professional luthier. And that's what Ruthie's mother.
Perhaps Ruthie's mom.
Ruthie's mom is a professional luthier, and she dreads it needs, it needs a neck reset.
She's not going to like when I bring that over.
But that guitar was put together by your mom. It came in.
You're kidding.
In pieces.
Yeah.
Because it's in mint condition. That guitar is probably worth like...
Is this like one piece at a time, like the Johnny Cash song, but it's the
kind
guitar?
Of, yeah. Yes.
Like the car?
Yes, it's like that.
It's like that.
It's probably like an $8,000 guitar, because it's from the 40s or something. It's very, very old, but it came together like a Lego project. It had been broken.
Yeah.
So she lovingly put it back together.
And it sounds great, but it's not one you would normally use, but it has this vibe. And it was, and you're finger picking on it.
And it's in an open tuning. Let's get into the musician technical stuff, because that's what you kind of asked about. Yes, it's an open E, E, G sharp, B, E, B, E tuning. It's kind of a weird tuning.
Yes.
The more common tuning is like open D, D, A, D, F sharp, A, D. Like this one, my friend Carter taught it to
you
me.
You leave the E's.
You leave the E's and the B. Like the E and the high E and B stay, the low E stays. So you just change the A string, the D string, and the G string. And instead of tuning them up like you often do for tuning, you tune them down. So it's very syrupy and slack. And that guitar loves it, right? And like you said, like the pluckiness of it, like the notes just kind of like, they just, they're like eager to sound for you. They just kind of, and it's just me playing guitar, this very slow arpeggiated pattern and R2 voices. I sang it down live in one take. Ruthie sang her harmony down live in one take. I guess not live, as an overdub. But that's it. It was...
Isn't there some SK-5?
And I played a little of our Lowry organ.
Lowry.
You got me that for my birthday in like 2005.
Yeah, we have a funky little organ over there in the corner.
It was in a barn in Maine at an antique shop. It was $10. But it's like, this is an organ that's, you know... 250 pounds or something.
Oh my
they
God.
Said if you can get it in the car, it's yours. It lives in the studio and it makes special appearances. So
yeah. And who played that?
I played the organ.
Okay.
And then I
probably tracked the organ.
I second guessed myself. I thought we should have our keyboard wizard Will Bryant do it, but it was fine. It's fine.
Did he try it and then we didn't use it?
He decided that I did a good job.
Aww.
I don't really I don't really play the organ, but I can, you know, I can play a couple chords.
And I could talk about harmony choices when you're done.
Yeah, and I just want to say,
Ruth, I hear you're a harmony whore.
Oh, you saw my shirt.
We'd like you to address the allegations.
So freaking thorough. You guys, I love how
the internet's talking.
I love how thorough you are. I'll just say one more thing about old friend, and then we can go on to harmony whore. I often write more impressionistic songs that don't necessarily tell a linear story. But I feel like Old Friend is one of my more literal type of songs because it was written the same day as an old friend came to visit.
Did we get to know who it was that inspired Old Friend?
She's a farmer from New Hampshire, where I grew up, named Sarah Goose.
Oh, Sarah Goose.
She was doing a tour of the Hudson Valley of farms. She was researching old farm equipment. She, like I said, she's a farmer in New Hampshire. We went to high school together.
Does she have a podcast with you?
No. Nope. But if you really want to know the inside baseball, my podcast buddy, Ben Hardy, his older brother was Josh Hardy. And Josh passed away when he was 18 years old. It was one of the tragedies of my town when we were young. And in many ways, I point to Josh's passing as what gave me the courage to be an artist. Because I thought, man, if you can just have it all taken away at age 18, like, why wouldn't you just swing for the fences, right? So, like, I think about Josh all the time. And that's Ben's older brother, who I do the podcast with. Sarah Goose, who I just mentioned, was Josh's girlfriend.
T.
Deep. So there it is.
Old friend.
Like, there's so much. And Sarah and I were never, like, super close. But the Hardys are, like, family to me. You know, Josh was a drummer. We were never in bands together because we were both drummers. But we were buddies, you know? And so that's a deep connection, because any of us from my old, I went to Oyster River High School, any of my old Oyster River friends that went through grieving Josh together were family, you know? So when Sarah came to visit on her farm history of the Hudson Valley, she was specifically looking at old farm equipment, and I took her to Ashokan, which happens to have
so much
old farm equipment just sitting in barns.
This is up the road here in the town of Olive Bridge, New York, the Ashokan Center, outdoor education center and music and dance camp place. And also there's a lot of weird old farm
stuff.
It
collects relics, like old letterpress machines and farm equipment. And
but they don't want more, so don't hear this.
Donations.
This is where we do our festival, the Hoot, by the way, cool. The Ashokan Center. So anyway,
raffle off a piece every year.
Sarah to Ashokan. She was bowled over by how much farm equipment is. We got to spend a nice day together. And then when she drove down the driveway, I picked up that guitar and I just wrote Old Friend. And it's not just for her. It's just, I think it's more for my whole posse of buddies from that community. Right. And especially that was probably in like 2022 or 23. You know, the world was still so raw. And like people didn't even know if they were supposed to visit each other for so long. Mm-hmm. And so like kind of like peeling that Band-Aid off and just going into, I think there's a lot of like vulnerability in that song. And like,
I think so.
When the world has changed drastically and you see someone kind of from the before times, and where are you going to be in the present? You know, you're always going to have that bond because you grew up together. But you might not think the same anymore. But I think there's a trust amongst old friends that's unique to those types of relationships.
Beautiful.
Old friend, take your time.
My friend Joel, who goes to Sad Song Summer Camp, it's a Milk Carton Kids songwriting camp that we
shout
often
out to
teach
the Milk
at.
Carton Kids.
Yes,
that's
where we met you. And like, yeah, so Joel, he's a great harmony singer and fiddle player, and he's one of those guys at the camp who he'll write a song, but he's happier playing on your song. And I'm kind of like that a little bit too. Like, I do like to write and sing my songs, but I have the most fun making someone else's song sound just a little cooler. And so his Harmony Horror shirt that he was wearing made me incredibly jealous. I demanded one, and he custom made or ordered or somehow facilitated the making of a second, and I wore it on Instagram. And I think, what was it? I never heard a melody I couldn't ride on top of.
Lay on top of?
Something.
Yes,
I don't
Ruthie.
Know.
I'm Can we make this the poll quote from the episode?
If you're in charge. You think that's what the clicks will respond to, sure. Seriously, it is almost like an addiction or something. And I think it's in my family. My mom's the same way. Like, if she comes to our show, like, you will hear her singing or, you know, singing along. And I think it's mammalian, right? Like, a wolf howls and the other ones want to howl, and it's fun and it feels great. So if it's something that you're in touch with and you get to do, it's a real treat. And this song is so beautiful. I'll say, when Mike and I met years and years ago, I mostly sang loud, and I had to learn to blend with Mike. I had to learn to sing in a different sort of breathy part of my voice. This is a perfect example of one of those songs. And I also, when I first met Mike, was young and from this folk scene where I thought there was like the right harmony and then everything else wasn't right. I eventually learned from singing with friends like Aoife O'Donovan or, you know, any of my close harmony singing friends who I might sing on their record, and they'd say, hey, try this note, and it's their record, so that's the right harmony. And I learned a bunch of different stuff, but I still have my, I guess, you know, trademark fingerprint whorls of the shit I do, which I tried to just let myself do and be comfortable on that song. And it's the same melody over and over and over. So each time I let another variation out, I just try to instinctively give it somewhere to go, do it really straight off the top, get a few more interesting notes on the next one, go back to straight maybe one time just to fake them out, and then do something a little more exciting. I can't remember if it's four times through.
I think it's four verses.
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, one high, different, slightly dissonant note on the last verse should do it. We just rehearsed it the other day because we were going to track a live session of it. Mm-hmm. That actually hasn't happened yet. We got to schedule that. But the snow messed it up. But
you also
sing. It was fun to sing it again. It was fun to, he pulled out that guitar and played it, and it was like, it's that vibe. One, we're here. We're in that song. And, you know.
It doesn't make it into the show very often because it's so painfully slow
and quiet
that it just needs the right room, the right audience, the right vibe.
I love that part.
That's the encore song.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah,
exactly. The good night
good
encore
idea.
Song. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
I love your harmony singing on Free State of Mind,
yes,
by the way.
Beautiful.
If you want to talk
thanks.
About it's very, I feel it's, I had sung that song at a freedom gathering in New Hampshire with my friend Brendan, and I loved how he sang it. And I think Brendan tends to sing maybe what we would call the obvious harmony.
More straightforward.
And I loved it. And then when you approach it, it was so different.
It's the fucked up harmony.
It is.
It's also
it's
like a little
more,
bit more droney. Or what I mean by that is like Paddle Lee saying on one note more. Like he's going in a free state of mind and I'm going in a free state of mind. You know, not in a free state of mind.
Right,
you know,
just like it note for note. It,
only change if you absolutely have to.
Yeah.
That's also something I do a lot, I think, because it's an easy way to build tension by, you know, if you know in your head, okay, when I get, it's sort of like driving when you're, when you're getting near another lane or near the curb, you're not going to go off, but it, you know, it's more adrenaline if you're on the edges a little.
Yeah.
Ruthie, don't advise you drive that way, but harmonize that way.
We've embraced the harmony horror terminology, but we often call it in a classroom setting, harmony ninja. Ruthie's a harmony ninja. Kenneth Pattingale would be a harmony ninja. Aoife O'Donovan would be a harmony ninja. I am a harmony mortal, and I can own that freely.
Mike just brought up that you're turning 50 this year. I am about to turn, I'm at that age where I'm like, how old am I? I'm about to turn 44. So I'm a middle-aged woman, and I've been getting a lot of like ads on my Instagram stories about like alternatives to Botox and ways to make my face look younger and my butt smaller. And I will not lie, like, sometimes I'm like lingering on those ads. I'm like, but how do I fix this thing in the middle of my eyebrows? A couple of years ago, Ruth posted a photo of herself in the bathroom at the Hoot. You said that the clothes and the camera were arguably better in 2016, but there's something about the 2023 lady that is a little more comfortable. So just in thinking about all of that, how are you both feeling about aging, like inside and out? Let's go there. And at this point in your lives.
You're absolutely right about the advertising that comes to us and this feeling of becoming more and more invisible unless you do some crazy stuff or something, or even if you do the crazy stuff.
Yes.
The idea, of disappearing slowly is really disconcerting. It's pretty much like a female thing, I think.
Correct.
And I don't really know how to navigate it or give advice about it or how I feel about it. But I do know that I am, you know, here to learn about it. And I can think of the women who are older than me who I admire. And, you know, they're the ones who just look like they've been through some real stuff. And they wear that with some amount of pride as opposed to hiding it. Not that they couldn't have fun and put on some lipstick or sure. brush their hair or something.
Right.
But it's those rituals of doing those sort of beauty type things are like fun and wholesome still in some way. And like internalized with a positive feeling, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. like, oh, my God, I better hide. And,
yes.
You know, and I think having a teenage daughter and seeing her beauty regimen, which I'm just thinking is like so unnecessary because she's so perfect. But whatever, it's fun. You know, there's something about it that can be fun. So I do have an interesting relationship, I think, that's developing and shifting with image. And my 50th birthday is literally in 10 days or something.
Happy birthday.
So, thank you.
Happy
yeah.
birthday to
when's
all
your birthday?
You.
We're both turning this year. I'm February 19th.
Oh, February 23rd.
Ah, nice.
Steve Poltz is also the 19th.
Yeah.
Hardcore
Steve Poltz.
Focus.
Yeah.
Shout out to Steve twin.
Yes. And yeah, there's a guy.
Jacob
who
Silver,
has
too. Sorry.
Long, yes. And Jacob Silver. He has, Steve has some long white hair mm-hmm. and yet exudes the energy of a 16-year-old somehow.
Yes.
Most of the time. So,
truly, I've seen him on the beach during the Kayamo cruise. He's having the most fun at the party.
Yeah.
Always. But always. In a very wholesome
yep.
way.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
not even wholesome, like an authentic way.
Yeah.
He's not, there's
yeah.
no phoning it in. He's,
yeah.
he's in,
yeah.
the, he's and being
sober.
There now.
And I sober. Think maybe yeah. the wholesome part.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, that is so inspiring. Mm-hmm. And I'm just admiring folks like that and just trying to not put too much on my plate, because I think that what, not that the entire goal of this question was to talk about beauty, but I think what affects your appearance the worst is just feeling terrible
yes.
or feeling stressed or having too much piled on top of your head. And that doesn't look good on anybody. So, you know, that's really where it's at. I again, this is advice that would probably be better sung. Oh, I have a song called Do Good. Do less than you've ever done
yes.
before. That's a lyric I try to sing to myself. So maybe that's the song that speaks to this question. Yeah, Mike doesn't age, so I don't know if he can answer this question.
It's not true. It's not true. I have been fortunate in that I look much younger than I am. This comes up all the time. Like, you know, like our daughter's been playing hockey. So you meet like a new group of parent friends and people always think I'm like her brother and not her dad. Like that, this happens on the regular. Opal's brother, you know, or like that I'm Ruthie's son. It's like we'll do a song together. Oh, I love that song you just did with your son. It's like, that's
oh my God.
Husband. So this does
it
still
did
happen.
It's
what's the matter with people?
And I've always kind of leaned into that and enjoyed it kind of from a vain perspective.
Totally.
You know, and I can like, I know how to lean in. Like if you wear a baseball hat and a hoodie, you automatically look younger than a guy in a collar and tie. You know, I've stopped wearing a hat on stage. Partly why I wore the hat, because I think it looks good in a photo. I like how a hat looks on stage, but it also hid my gray hair. You know, there was
what
some
gray hair
there. That's the thing. You don't see them, but they're there. And I,
but
there
if
was
you
a,
don't see them, you don't need the hat, Mike. Think about this.
I'm just saying. The hat makes me look younger.
But you used to wear a hat when you had no gray hair. Like you've worn a hat since you're 22.
But it became, I found that it became a disguise and I didn't like that.
I
wanted to be more authentic.
I
want to
say that I don't miss the hat.
You don't miss the hat.
I am so with you. My mom,
I'm a newer fan and I think you look great now. I don't remember the hat times.
Yeah.
The hat time, they're all good times. I appreciate all the feedback.
My mom is like, he looks like Tony, a young Tony Curtis.
My mom always
said, and his hair is so great. Yeah. Why does he hide it?
Yeah.
Ever since, you know, she met you. Why is he in this hat?
No, there was a picture from, I think, like the 2022 Summer Hoots. And our son, Will, I wasn't wearing a hat at that. He's like, Dad, I didn't know you had so much gray hair. He pointed it out.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm really leaning into being 50 and not pretending that I'm just all about being authentic. And I think aging and getting older in our culture is perceived as uncomfortable. But because it is universal, none of us will be here in 100 years. And that's cool. Because it's the exact same thing that happened to everyone who came before us and everyone who's going to come after us. Mm. And like I said, I love the mystery of that. I think when I was younger, I was probably more atheistic and I just thought, and with that, maybe more nihilistic. But now I am open to the mystery and I think it's actually really beautiful. And I kind of love being right in the middle of it. And it makes me more calm. Heading into kind of what you might call the second chapter of my life, the second half.
My final question is, Mike and Ruth, can you each define the phrase touch grass?
Yeah, get off your screened device, go outside, and connect with something that has been here for thousands of years.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with the literal route as well. Literally go put your feet in the grass. Harder to do.
Bare feet.
In February, under a foot of snow like the world is now. But it'll sound like a silly health podcaster guy, but it's one of the most important things you can do is to connect with the earth physically. Put your feet on the ground. So when the, quote, the kids started saying touch grass, as for the reasons Ruthie brought up, you know, get off your phone, it was like my prayers were answered. Like you can't make this stuff up, that this has become like a clever, cheeky, derisive thing to say to somebody when they're too plugged in.
I'll also say that touch grass, verb, noun, is what we're talking about. There's also touch grass, adjective, noun, the genre of music, which is on the album, yeah. Touch grass. We play
yes.
Touch grass.
Yes.
I think a big part of what we call it getting grounded, right? I mean, to get literally ground yourself. But, you know, if somebody's like having a hard time, they're just, you can sense that they're not grounded as a turn of speech. Mm-hmm. Getting grounded is one of the simplest ways to regulate your nervous system. You know, I have, this sounds silly, but I have a copper pipe and copper wire that was driven into the ground outside our bedroom. And I'll lie in bed and just hold on to that copper wire to ground myself, literally. We spend all of our times in rubber-soled shoes and in indoors with, you know, polyester carpets and driving in cars with rubber tires. And if you don't actually, they call it death by civilization. If you don't actually think about it, you won't ever touch the grass or the ground. You'll put your shoes on, you'll walk to work, you'll drive in your car, you'll come home, and your feet will never touch the ground, your bare feet. So in the times we're living in these hyper-modern, technical, digital times, I mean it very literally. Don't forget to touch some grass.
And if you think about the fact that someone who is perhaps in prison has that taken away from them or limited very greatly, and yet here we are free, out walking around and doing it to ourselves half the time.
Amen.
So there.
Check yourself.
That.
Hell yeah.
Touch grass.
Yeah. Okay, would the two of you have capacity for a few longly wed game questions? They'll go like this. Who is
longly wed?
Here's an example. Who most closely shares the spiritual qualities of Snoopy the cartoon dog? 3, 2, 1. And then you'll say the name of the person. You'll say your own name. Or
someone we know or one of us?
One of the two of you.
It's between the two of us.
Yeah, the answer is either one of you, both of you, or neither of you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, I guess.
Who is the better driver of the two?
Do we answer Snoopy yet?
Oh, that was an example question, but I'd still, I would love to know.
What
three,
the F, dude?
3, 2, 1.
Ruthie.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. You're not really that familiar with Snoopy.
My impression of Snoopy was he was the smart one who like always had his finger on the pulse of what was going on.
Yeah, but he kept it chill.
But he kept it chill. Like, he didn't let on. He didn't brag about it. Yeah, that's Ruthie. She's the smart one.
Oh, okay. I always thought he was the one sitting on the top of the doghouse looking around writing songs.
I would definitely be, like, out on the doghouse naked as a jay soaking up some sun. Like,
yes.
So we both have a little.
Snoopy's naked.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. So you're feeling it, too.
Yeah.
He's not naked. He has a dog collar on.
That's
Thank you. Yeah.
Bring that,
that
up.
I don't wear. Yeah.
I feel
anyway,
like I'm.
Okay, sorry. We did Snoopy.
Okay, love it. Who is the better driver of the two? Three, two, one.
I think
Mike.
I don't know. Yeah, these days it is.
Okay,
it
so not strong feelings, though.
Yeah. Well, we both do a lot of drive. We drive for a living. We play for free. We joke. We both drive. And I do a lot of the night shift driving, which I think is maybe like, that's an important thing in the life of a musician. So I'll take.
He wins because he does
the night
shift.
I'll win because I take the night shift. Yeah.
Who is the better chef?
Ruthie.
Three, two, one.
It's
Ruthie.
Me.
It's one of my favorite things about Ruthie is the beautiful meals she creates because I'm still like a high schooler at heart who would just write songs and eat macaroni and cheese if left to my own devices. So I'm grateful that Ruthie puts thought into
the Miranda family are all very, very good cooks.
Yes.
So he comes from food people.
Yeah.
He appreciates good food.
Which one do babies prefer?
Ooh.
Three, two, one.
Mike.
Yeah. Cute.
I love babies. They love me. I always have.
That's a really great one.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for coming back to Basic Folk.
Thanks for making time for us. I really appreciate it. I know it was a long time coming, but we're very grateful.
Thanks for your patience.
Oh, don't sweat it. It's so hard in the music industry these days to find ways to talk about what you do with people who actually get it and care and listen and ask intelligent questions. Even though we're oversaturated with so much media, it's harder and harder to come by like meaningful conversations. So very grateful to you guys.
Thank you.
This episode of Basic Folk was produced by CJ Nungesser. Dietrich Strauss composes our music. Basic Folk is a production of The Bluegrass Situation. You can find all of our episodes there. You can search for Basic Folk on the SiriusXM app. You can find us on folkalley.com or their mobile app. You can go to basicfolk.com or you can listen wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, we recommend sharing it with a friend. Like maybe that one friend who has a farm and is actually in the market for some old farming equipment and could make their way up to the Ashokan Center and just take a few pieces off of their hands. Send it to that friend because I'm pretty sure they're going to enjoy the knowledge of where they can find some old farm equipment and also enjoy the music of the mammals. Okay, we'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. Bye.